Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today I'd like to briefly touch on and discuss the opening verses of Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. But before we actually touch on those verses, just to introduce the surah very briefly. Al-Anfal means spoils gained from the battlefield. This surah was revealed in relation to the Battle of Badr, which is one of the great battles that took place on the 17th of Ramadan in the second year after Hijrah. The scholars are mostly in agreement that the placement of this surah after Surah A'raf and before Surah Tawbah was something that was done by the decision of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. It was not by the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is actually very common. Many of the surahs, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself taught the companions of their exact placement in the Quran. But there were some surahs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had not spoken on. So, in various masahif copies of the Qur'an, these surahs were placed differently. For example, this surah in the mushaf of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in his mushaf, he lists these surahs by length. He lists the surahs by length. So the surah Al-Anfal in the earlier half of the Qur'an is actually one of the smaller surahs. So when he lists Surah Al-Anfal, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu listed it after Surah An-Nur. And Surah An-Nur is in the 18th juz of the Qur'an. That's where he placed this surah. The question is, why did Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the great companion who compiled the Qur'an together, why did he place this surah in this place after A'raf and before Surah Tawbah? Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, while addressing this issue, he says, the reason why this surah was placed here is because this surah has the exact same message as the following surah. Surah Tawbah talks about the Battle of Badr, it talks about battle, warfare. And the battle, Surah Al-Anfal also talks about the Battle of Badr. The second thing he says is that the two surahs may possibly be one, because before Surah Tawbah there is no Bismillah there. And before Surah Al-Anfal, there is Bismillah there. In every surah of the Qur'an, before we start reciting it, there is actually a Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim written there, except for one surah. And which surah is that? Surah Tawbah. So it's possible that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu felt that the two surahs should be listed together because their madmoon, the subject was one, and one of the surahs did not have Bismillah, so there may be a possibility that these may not be two separate surahs, they may actually be they may be one surah. And this is actually an opinion of some of the mufassirun of the Qur'an. Now we come to the first five verses of Surah Tawbah. Surah Anfal, sorry. They are very powerful surahs. Very powerful verses. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures for us the moments right after the Battle of Badr. This was the first great battle in Muslim history. The Muslims had been patient with their oppressors for 15 years. For 15 years, they remained patient. For the first 13 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited the Muslims to even take revenge from the oppressors. So if someone oppressed a Muslim, the Muslims were told, don't do anything. Don't fight back, don't hurt anyone, be patient, pray for them, pray for yourself. Now, 15 years into it, finally the Muslims are given the permission, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. The first verse in the Quran granting Muslims permission to fight in the battlefield in order to defend their lives. And then, soon after the revelation of this verse, the Battle of Badr takes place. 313 Muslim companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, including himself, against an army of 1,000 who are armed to their teeth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the number of people who were participant in the Battle of Badr were the same number of people who were with Dawud alayhi salam when he stood against Jalut. When Dawud alayhi salam stood against Jalut in the battle, this was the same number of people that were standing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr. The odds didn't add up. It was 3-1. And at a ratio of 3-1, when you have one believer and three people who are trying to kill that one person, the natural outcome would be that 313 would be slayed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them. And they were victorious in the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr is over. They've gained spoils from war. They got a hold of some horses. They now had some swords, some armors, some helmets, bows and arrows. All of this was spears. They were all brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, there was a person who came to the Prophet of Allah and he said, O Messenger of God, since this was the first time they had spoils of war, they weren't really sure on how the distribution would take place. So one person came and said, O Messenger of Allah, we the young companions deserve a greater portion of this of the spoils. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked why. They said the reason is because we were the muscle in the battlefield. We were the ones out there fighting, swinging the sword, putting ourselves in the middle of the battlefield. We carried death like our shadow. We were willing to put our lives out. Some of the more senior companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, we were the brains behind the battle. We provided the tactics. So we should be given a greater portion. In response to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the opening verses of Surah Al-Anfal. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you regarding the spoils of war. قُلْ, say to them, الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. All of the spoils of war belong to Allah and His Messenger. Nobody gets anything. The reason why the Messenger of Allah said this to them, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses was to purify their intentions. That don't come to the battlefield with the intention of gaining money and earning. That's why people go to war. That's why soldiers enlist themselves in armies across the world because of the financial benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you go to war as a Muslim, don't do it so you can gain money. Otherwise, all you want to do is fight, fight, and fight so you can get rich, rich, and rich. Economies are built off warfare. You know, the arms industry thrives off of warfare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want people to kill for the sake of money. So He said, Al-anfalu lillahi wa rasul. Purify your intention, no one gets anything. Now before I continue, a few pages later, in the very same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now reveals a second ayah. After they had purified their intentions and they had, you know, cleared their hearts, Allah reveals another ayah in that very same surah, a few pages later, the opening verse of the 10th juz of the Qur'an, in which everyone was given a portion. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And then Allah continues on, assigning portions to everyone. So they were given a portion, but originally, no. The heart is clean. Now once the heart is clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns their prescribed portion to them. Now moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. That be conscious of Allah and mend bonds amongst one another. Don't fight and argue over small petty things. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And obey Allah and His Messenger if you are true believers. Now in the next verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Sahaba, the companions who participated in the Battle of Badr. He describes them with five characteristics. And these were the five characteristics that led them to victory on that day. And if I were to ask you, what are five characteristics that would lead a soldier to victory, you would say, a lot of training, a lot of protein shakes. These guys were bench pressing a ton. These people were very agile, doing yoga very regularly. You know, waking up early in the morning and making sure they tied their shoes and stood in a straight line. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them for. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes them by saying, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Believers are only those, إِنَّمَا is لِلْحَصَرِ. Believers are only those, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Believers are only those, الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ. That when God is mentioned by them, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts begin to tremble. Because they have an intimate relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by hearing the name of Allah, their creator, their master, the one who showered His mercy upon them, the one who has guided their hearts to do good and saved their hearts from doing evil. When they hear that being's name, their heart begins to shake. Go and meet someone who's at the brink of getting married, and when they are engaged to someone, simply by mentioning their fiancé's name, what happens to that person? Muskurahat, a smile comes on their face. They start feeling a little shy. They start looking down because the person whose name is mentioned in their presence is someone that they love very dearly. You know, when I was in college, we used to, in the dorms, there was one of my bunk mates. He used to sleep on the bottom bunk. And back in those days, I don't know if you guys remember, it was a very in thing, it was a common thing. People would take these strings that they would hang around their necks and attach them to their phones. Do you guys remember those days? Yes, no? They would have these drawstrings that they would attach to their phones, and they would carry them in their pocket or around their neck or whatever it was, his Nokia phones. So what this guy would do is he would take his phone and he would attach it to the top of the bunk and he would lie down. At nighttime, we had a policy that after a certain hour, your phones had to be on silent so other people could sleep. His phone would vibrate. He'd be sleeping 2 a.m. He'd sit up like a zombie and he'd start responding. And he'd sit there and smile and smile and smile. And I used to say to one of my friends that, subhanAllah, only if the message of Allah, the adhan, was as meaningful to us as his girlfriend's message is meaningful to him. A small vibration wakes him up. In our case is what? The muadhin is saying, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, and it's meaningless. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Wajidat qulubuhum. The second characteristic, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When the verses of Allah are recited, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. What happens? Their faith increases, their iman increases, because they have a relationship with the Qur'an. They understand what revelation actually is. And the third thing, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first three things are all to do with the state of the heart. They hear the name of Allah, their hearts tremble. Their faith increases by hearing verses of the Qur'an, and they rely on their Lord. Now in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Characteristic number four, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish their prayers. External. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which we have given them. Then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These are true believers. They are true believers. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. For these people are stations with their Lord. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ and forgiveness. وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ and an honorable sustenance. Reflect over these characteristics and you will learn that any human being who sincerely adopts these characteristics, these traits, will have the nusra and assistance of Allah. The Allah that helped them in the battle of Badr is the Allah that is with us today. The enemies that were there are the enemies that are here. Enemies will always remain. The Qur'an that was there is the Qur'an that is here. The only difference is those were Sahaba companions who had embodied these characteristics, and we unfortunately are a people who only know how to talk about these characteristics. As one of the mashayikh said, if revolutions came through talk only, we'd have a revolution every morning and evening. But true revolution and change only comes through actions, that's why they're so rare. Everyone talks about changing the ummah, but are they willing to pray their Fajr Salah on time? Are they willing to attend the jama'ah? We talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and the great miracles that occurred in the Battle of Badr. But do we talk about those people who participated in the Battle of Badr? What kind of people they actually were? They were a people that weren't obsessed with the external, rather they were concerned about the internal. Our Shaykh used to say, "Us zamane mein masjid-e kachi thi, log pakke the. Aaj masjid-e pakki ho gayi, log kachche ho gaye." That at that time, the structure of the mosque was very weak. It was a few date palm trees, there was no carpet. The fiber, the leaves of the tree, the branches were the roof. The mosques were very weak. When it rained, it flooded inside. That was the Prophet's mosque. When it rained, what happened? It would flood inside. That was the Prophet's mosque. The mosques were very weak in structure. But the men and women standing inside, the children standing inside, were ace. These were strong people. In the front saf, the imam was Muhammadur Rasulullah. The muadhin was Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whose footsteps have already been heard in Jannah. The front saf, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Zubair, Sa'ad, Sa'id, Abu Ubaidah, Abdul Rahman. The children running around were Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhumah. The women praying in the back were Aisha radiyallahu anha, Khadija radiyallahu anha, in Makkah Mukarramah. She was the one that prayed behind the Prophet. Salama radiyallahu anha, Zainab radiyallahu anha, Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, Asma radiyallahu anha. The people were solid. When I think of that mosque in my mind for a second, my mind kind of, it crashes. It's an overload of greatness. Like, what was going on in that mosque? What kind of people were standing there, right? And that masjid is remembered till today, not because of its architecture, because of its structure. It's remembered because of the type of people. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed night of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who live with the same characteristics as the Sahaba from the Battle of Badr. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us victory in our lives, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory in their lives. And we pray that before we leave this world, the ayah of the Quran is directed to us, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are my true believers. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them are ranks with their Lord. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ and forgiveness. وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ and an honorable sustenance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.